Welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Dravenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. And I'm here today with Mark Yunt, who is chef and general manager of More Than Q Barbecue and the Taylor Taco Shop in the Easton Public Market, along with other locations in New Jersey for More Than Q. Mark, thank you for being here at WDIY.
How's it going, Mike? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'd like to talk first about barbecue, because I think in the 3.5 years we've been doing the show, we really haven't talked barbecue yet. So what is behind More Than Q and how did it get started?
More Than Q, I've been on board with them for about 4 years now since we opened at the market. I started with Matt Martin about 7-8 years ago now in Stockton, New Jersey, a small little farmer's market, about kind of similar to Easton Public Market, but smaller, scaled down. We were only doing 3 days a week there, and Matt Martin was running that, and we had the opportunity to come to Easton and take that over, and we did, and we're a 5-day-a-week operation there now in Easton, and I've been running that for Matt since we opened now.
And you're also in Lambertville, right?
New Jersey. Yes, sir. We left Stockton to go to our own brick and mortar over in Lambertville. And that's also a 6-day-a-week operation there.
Okay. And also, you do catering as well, right?
Oh, yeah. We go all around the area, Lehigh Valley, outskirts. I think we went as far as Bangor. We go all around for here. And then going south down in Jersey as well, we go from there and extend out. Yep.
As you told me before, everything from paper plate to just about fine china, right?
Fine china to paper plate to crab boil to pass hors d'oeuvres to stationary hors d'oeuvres. It's all what the guest wants, and we can create any menu they really want and go from there. That's where the more than comes into effect.
When I think a lot of the things you're talking about, especially barbecue, we're talking to me kind of quintessential American food when you talk about barbecue. But even within barbecue, I know there are regional variations from, you know, Texas, Carolina, Memphis, Kansas City. Where does More Than Q fit in, considering you're here in Easton?
Well, since we're up here in the north of PA, we kind of have the ability to make it our own and draw from all of those different regions down south. So we have a Carolina barbecue, and we feature the oak smoke, which is traditional Texas style, and we strictly use only oak. Every now and then we get a different wood now and then thrown in there, but we use that on different cuts. But the brisket's always getting hit with that oak smoke. Pennsylvania oak right here, white oak. So we have the ability, just not really any rules here in PA barbecue, so we can really play with it and make it our own and go from there.
And you mentioned brisket. I imagine you're doing pork, chicken, other things?
Briskets are the main showpiece, mm-hmm. if you will. The pulled pork is the most popular, pork shoulder. Chicken, turkey is one of my favorites on the smoker. It really pulls and holds the smoke flavor differently than other meats. Possibilities are endless. We play with a lot. We put some bacon-wrapped meatloafs on there, and like I said, the chicken and duck every now and then. We run for special at our other location for right across the hall there for us at Taylor Taco, and smoking tofu on there now and then. And
oh,
so
okay.
We're playing. We have the ability to play, and we like to do that.
And what are the keys to making really good barbecue?
Technique is every step matters, from the butchering of the meats to how you're butchering it, to how big of pieces you're putting on there, to how you're rubbing it, to how thick that rub is going on there, how much fat you're leaving on, what you're doing with the brisket, because this piece of brisket is going to be on there for anywhere from 8 to 12 hours, so you got to make sure the right amount of fat's on there that is getting rendered out properly. So technique, managing the fire, the wood, is the wood wet, is the wood dry, is it too wet, is it too dry? So everything matters, getting the wood in at the right time, having the right size of wood. So every step matters along the way, from even when it's on the smoker to when it's coming off to when it's cooling to how you're wrapping it to for resale. So every step matters, technique and attention to detail.
And how, I guess, forgiving is barbecue? I mean, you're talking about anything from 8 to 12 to 16 hours and some variation here and there, but generally you're on low and slow.
Low and slow. We don't go really above 250 for any of our smokes, for any of our meats, but different things take different times, but we have our methods down, and the machine is the machine, and learning Black Betty, that's our girl. Got to give a little shout out to our Black Betty, but learning the machine is different. So when I have someone coming in and asking me, "Well, I do this at home with my green egg. How do you do it here?" Well, what I do here on Black Betty, where I could do 200 pounds at one time, is a lot different than what you can do on a green egg. So it's just practice makes perfect, you know, learning our machine. And right now we have some guys in for our Princeton location that we're teaching the managers and the pit guys that are be running the pit in Princeton. And is everything that we think about is like, well, we close the door here and you got to listen to Betty's squeak here. And this damper goes off here and this fan's going to be going on. And so paying attention to the machine and learning your machine is really where the technique comes into play.
And the machine itself, in terms of fuel with that, is it only wood or are there other supplemental?
No, our Black Betty is 100% oak smoke. Mm-hmm. There is electrical assist for, like I said, the dampers and the flues. There's like six different dampers on it. There's the blower on it. And we have a 30-foot stack going up to the ceiling, another 20 feet on top of the ceiling once we go to the roof to get that smoke out of there. But so there's a lot of technical aspects to it, computerized mechanics behind all these dampers and everything, but other than that, the only thing hitting it is oak smoke.
But even with the technical aspects, it sounds like there's a lot of art to it. There's getting to know the machine, getting to know the idiosyncrasies of it, the meats that you have in, some of it's mm-hmm. science, some of it's feel.
Absolutely. Yeah, some of it's feel, knowing the machine, the hot zones, and everyone's like, what temp should I pull my brisket out at? I'm like, I don't even know what temp we pull our briskets off at because it's how you feel. Touch it here at this thick part of the point. Pick it up in the middle. How much flex does it have? How much bend does it have? How is that bark developed? When you got to be so gentle with it because you don't be squeezing all those juices out of it when you're taking it off. So it's a little bit of finesse. People think, oh, barbecue, gritty, throwing logs on a fire. But when you're pulling that meat off, you're just like holding a little baby.
Well, especially when you're looking for a certain sense of consistency.
Absolutely.
From day to day with it.
Absolutely.
And how about rubs? What type of rubs are you using? How does that vary based on the protein?
The protein, the beef rub we use does not have any brown sugar in it. We add a little brown sugar to the pork rub and to the poultry rubs. But the beef is a very simple blend of salt, pepper, paprika, garlic powder, onion powder. And that's our little secret blend of those. And that's what it is.
And when you rub, is it right before it goes into the machine? Do you hold it a little bit? What's some of the science behind that?
The butchering, we butcher and rub back to back, and usually it only sits on the rub for about one day before it goes on the fire, so we get it prepared a day before it goes on. Depends on what timing and what fire sequence we have going for that week, but usually it's never longer than a day or two that the rub's sitting on the product.
Now, when you're smoking, you're doing brisket at one time, pork butt at another time, and chicken, or does everything go in at the same time? Because I know there's also like the density of meat can affect how much heat is retained in the meat.
Yeah, it depends on what we're doing. We run about 3 to 4 fires a week, depending on how busy we are in the summer when we're really cranking. We're running about 5 fires a week. Brisket fire is usually its own fire because we don't want to be going in and out of the smoker. We just want to keep those doors closed as long as possible and keep that smoke in there and keep them consistently going at that temperature. But the pork shoulders go on with the ribs. The ribs will be their own fire, depending on what we're doing. But pork usually saves the pork. The beef usually saves the beef. And then chicken always on the bottom, whenever we can squeeze those guys in because they go really quick. They're small thighs, or if we're doing wings for special or whatever. But
or even the duck, I imagine. Is
the
even
duck, yeah, it goes smaller. Relatively quickly. If we're doing a duck leg, the bone in there will. And depending on where we're going to arrange things on the smoker and how full we want it to be. Because the fuller it gets, the smoke can't get around, so we don't want to stuff it too much. So that's why we run so many different fires, even now during the slower time after the holidays. Well, we'll still be doing 3 fires a week just so we have room for the smoke to, caress everything. Nice and gentle.
Caress. Beautiful term. Right?
Caress, exactly.
What's that smoke along with the rub that imparts, you mentioned the bark. Yeah. I think that's what maybe a lot of people don't appreciate. They appreciate the flavor, they appreciate the texture, but they don't appreciate what that delivers and the potency in that little quarter inch mm-hmm. or half inch.
We have a lot of people that come up and aren't familiar with barbecue and they see it. They're like, oh, you burned that. We're like, no, it's not burned. We did a lot of hard work to get that, quote unquote, if you're calling it that, burn on there. But and then we have other people that are familiar with it and be like, give me all those burnt ends. Give them all to me. So people that know the burnt ends, that people are like scared of that, but people who know, they know. So come and get our burnt end baked beans and you'll know.
And barbecue has been barbecue for decades and decades and decades, but even in 4 or 5 years, are you seeing tastes change at all in terms of what people are looking for? Are they looking for more variety, or are tastes pretty much the same as they have been in the last 5 years?
Oh, I think a lot of things with the Aaron Franklin blowing up down south and the TV shows that are featuring barbecue nowadays, people really want to try to get what they think is authentic barbecue. And barbecue is barbecue. You can't really change traditional barbecues, so that's what we try to do, is traditional. But you see a lot of guys doing play on things, but I don't know, to answer your question, do I have seen change in the past 5 years? Not so much. The popularity, yes, maybe, because of with the TV and the exposure that barbecue's been getting and that we've been getting. So I don't know if so much has changed in the past 5 years, but a lot of room for playing. Some people are, yes. The exposure that it's getting is what's changed, I guess you could say.
And we've talked about meats, wood, rubs. How about sauces?
Sauces, we do Carolina, so it's tomato vinegar-based. We do a variation of that, which is a mustard variant of that. We do a hot variant of that. Very simple, because we don't want to really douse it. We don't put the sauce. I don't even use the sauce on my meats. That if I do, I use it very sparingly, and recommend you trying it without the sauce first and then going from there. But, I mean, our sauces are great on anything from, I mean, I put the sauces on my scrambled eggs in the morning. So, but I put more on my scrambled eggs than I do on my brisket, I have to say, because it doesn't need it.
Right. Well, it's been caressed.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit more about the more part in terms of some of the side dishes that you have there. I know there's some, you know, traditional things that you'll see, you know, mac and cheese, the burnt end baked beans, but you also have some more unconventional things too, right?
Oh yeah, we do. We try to, you know, appeal to the masses. So we do everything from salads, our collard greens with bacon and garlic, roasted garlic. It's fantastic with our bacon jam in there. Fried pickles, French fries, the cheesy grits, Southern style cheesy grits. But yeah, we try to appeal to everybody. I mean, we're doing the meats, but nowadays a lot of vegetarians coming on board, so we got to try to, you know, do some things for them. That's where, you know, we try to play some, you know, vegetarian barbecue now and then, and we get people asking for it, but you know, try to play and just do some different things.
And you mentioned Taylor Taco, which is right across the aisle there in Easton. Talk a little bit about what that concept's all about.
Yeah, we just celebrated our 1 year anniversary there at Taylor Taco Shop. Now we've been there a year. It's called Taylor Taco, so you can come in and tailor the taco your way, no pun intended, or we could tailor it our way. So we feature our tailors, which are, like I said, we feature some things from the Black Betty, from Smoker, or we do some off-the-cuff things, or the duck, or try to do some fusion-style things where we have Asian influence, or go down different ethnic routes there with our tailors. Or right now we have a barbacoa taco that's been chipotle rubbed and then smoked on Black Betty with the oak smoked, and then we do the Rojas sauce on there, or a lot of vegetarian options over there at Taylor Taco Shops. Barbecue's got the meat eaters covered, so Taylor Taco Shops tries to cover the other end of the spectrum and help feed those guys. And we got mahi tacos over there. We got the carnitas, which is my favorite over there, the pork carnitas. And
well, you're definitely bringing a lot carne of asada. Variety to Easton. We appreciate it.
Oh, well, we try it.
So, Mark, thanks for joining us here at WDIY.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.